This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. 2 years ago, in a Washington bookstore, I first saw it, a poster that said, "Keep Calm and Carry On," a puckish piece of World War II nostalgia marketed with as much postmodern irony as the viewer cared to supply. And apparently, it struck a chord, because Keep Calm and Carry On is not just a poster, but a cottage industry, imprinted on all manner of merchandise and sold worldwide as an icon of English resilience amid the Battle of Britain 76 years ago.
D is for our duty to give up all we can to the red collector when he brings round his van. Now we've hunted through the house, searched on every floor, just another little thing to help to win the war.
The thing is, we remember Keep Calm and Carry On, even if we weren't alive during the London Blitz. We know what it signifies. Or do we? Owen Hatherley is author of the book The Ministry of Nostalgia, Consuming Austerity. When we spoke to him in May, he told us that the slogan was revived in Britain after the 2008 financial crash.
From then is when it completely goes nuclear. The boom, which people had been led to believe was going to go on forever, was bursting quite spectacularly. And I think it led to a certain degree of panic, leading to this kind of slightly ironic idea of, like, we're all going to muddle through and we're all going to be fine and keep calm and so on.
The message appeals to what you call austerity nostalgia.
Yeah.
It does evoke the Blitz-era British spirit of resistance to adversity. And as you say, it meshed, at least, with the prevailing political agenda. What was the agenda?
I think the agenda, and this has been especially clear since 2010, was a turn to austerity. And in Britain, the immediate post-war era is generally called the austerity era.
Because the economy was in ruins, because resources were scant.
Precisely. But what's interesting with that version of austerity was that it also was the period of the construction of the welfare state. There was this huge amount of public investment in trying to make society more equal and more fair. And so what's kind of curious is when they opted to describe what they were going to do after 2010 as austerity, it was about dismantling that welfare state, but the exact same word had been used for it. It was a sort of destruction of that era cloaked in the garb of that era.
The message from government on both sides of the Atlantic was to tighten your belt, but don't stop, you know, spending.
Yes, there's a couple of government slogans which kept going around when David Cameron was first elected, like, we're all in this together.
So come on, let's pull together, let's come together, let's work together in the national interest.
On the one hand, people are sort of feeling guilty for what they've done during the boom, but at the same time, this allows them to continue to spend, but in a way in which they can feel better about themselves. You're kind of performing your own rectitude in a way.
You refer in your book to a line from Douglas Copeland, legislated nostalgia. What was he getting at, and why is that relevant to Keep Calm and Carry On?
This is a kind of nostalgia that's politically useful in a way that's actually quite unusual. It's quite rare to find that something that seems to be that much connected with the interests of the state and government as to Keep Calm and Carry On phenomena. This may be slightly paranoid of me, but I feel that it's actively encouraged by the state. But also at the same time, it's a body of memories people don't possess, not only because most of the people, you know, buying this or seeing this will not have lived through the Second World War. Probably more crucially, even those who did live through the Second World War cannot have seen it.
Now, there's a punchline to this story, Owen, and that is that this poster, which we remember as so symbolic and so ubiquitous during Britain's darkest hour, which was to become Britain's finest hour, wasn't ubiquitous at all. In fact, it barely existed.
This is the dark secret at the heart of Keep Calm and Carry On, I think. I couldn't believe it when I first found this out. The poster was one of three produced in 1940 by the Ministry of Information to put up when the bombs started dropping. One said, "Freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might." And the other said, "Your courage, your fortitude, your something, something will bring us victory." And then there was the third call, which was going to say, "Keep Calm and Carry On." It was thought that as soon as the bombs started to drop, people would panic. And that this would work as a way of sort of saying to people, don't be so bloody silly, you know, pipe down. And wasn't produced, I think, partly because of the fact that people didn't panic. So the poster, which I think was already considered by researchers to be quite patronising, was stopped. So it was never, ever on the city streets in London or anywhere else.
And yet when me and evidently about 10 million other people see a poster in a bookstore, we immediately go, oh, yes, of course. Wasn't that a remarkable time and a remarkable bit of courage from these resilient British people in brown tweed?
Exactly. The very fact that it wasn't produced is partly because the people of 1940 wouldn't have, so the assumption went, have welcomed it. And I think that now, of course, the layer of irony goes over that, so people don't feel patronized by it. Because we know, of course, we're not really being bombed by Hitler. But at the same time, that irony is a little bit disavowed, and that it is also a response to a crisis. One of the big problems with the poster is that it suggests that austerity is necessary in the way that the war was necessary. Austerity, as currently practiced, is not necessary. It's a political and economic choice. It's not something which is some sort of force of nature we can't control. And I think the poster, as it's currently used, has a certain amount of suggesting a resignation and acceptance of something that there's no reason whatsoever that people ought to be accepting.
Owen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Owen Hatherley is the author of The Ministry of Nostalgia, Consuming Austerity.
Now, don't forget, there's practically nothing you can't use for turning into something useful these days. These are old tablecloths, underwears, ties, collars, socks, everything's useful. So remember, be patriotic, like me.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.